Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Not Just New Movies podcast, the show where we review a seemingly random film currently not in theaters. My name is Ben Pearson, and today we're going to be talking about two movies, Albert Pyun's Doll Man and Charles Band's Trancers. Joining me, as always, my good friend and roommate, Pat Miller. Pat, how's it going?
Hey, what's up?
And joining, as usual, our co-host, Tyler Brands. Tyler, what's up?
Pew, pew.
I'll take that as a greeting of some sort. Joining us also is the creator of The Playing Field, a sports blog that can be found at joesrantandrave.blogspot.com. Joe Leninger, good friend of ours. Joe, what's going on?
Pretty good. Pleased to be of your acquaintance.
Yes, indeed, indeed. All right, so we like to start every episode of the show with a character name game. It's my turn today, so for those of you who are just joining us for the first time, character name game is a game that we play where... Today, it'll be me, picks a character's name. The other people on the panel have to guess what movie that character is from. Also, there has to be some sort of tenuous connection to a movie that was released this past Friday. So, the character's...
Did someone just collapse on a table?
No, we're just having a little bit of technical issues over here. It's all good.
Okay.
No table collapsing yet. Yeah, we'll save that for the wrestling part where you guys talk about Destageddon. But,
Oh, okay.
So the character's name this week is Liz Gilbert. Liz Gilbert. So be thinking about that as the episode progresses at the very end. We'll give you guys a chance to guess and then go from there. So let's move on into our media consume section. This is the part of the show where we talk about TV, what we've been watching, any sort of special events we've been attending. You know what? I think I'm going to actually open this up to movies that we've been watching also because, you know, we just talk about the same shows over and over again every week. I figured it would be an opportunity for us to talk about more shows, but it really has just, since we've only kind of settled into watching, you know, however many shows each of us watch, we just talk about the same things over and over. So in future episodes, we'll be able to talk about any, you know, weird movies or anything that we catch along the way. So Pat, we always start with you in the media consume section. What have you been consuming lately?
Yeah, you know, I've been consuming my regular set of programs. I just wanted to talk about Undercovers, which actually just got canceled. You know, Undercovers is, it's like a show-to-show type of program. I'm not terribly disappointed that it was canceled. I'm a little surprised, but, you know, it was entertaining enough while it lasted, I guess. I assume they'll just let it run out its season and they're not going to stop it midway, are they?
I don't think so. I think they only picked it up for 13 episodes initially and then just never fully renewed it for like a full season or anything. So from what I understand, they're actually filming their last episode right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, at least it can serve as an example of what we don't want to happen to Terriers on FX Wednesdays at 10.
Are you getting paid for this?
I should be.
Dude, we just really love the show. I don't know. Brent, you probably don't even watch it, do you?
No. I haven't said anything bad about it, though.
I know, but this is why we keep doing it, because we want people to start watching it. But.
Yeah. I also wanted to touch on Smallville maybe a little bit this week. It was not like a great episode, but I thought it was decent. And I think one of the things that maybe I've mentioned it before even is when they kind of pay homage to their past, like make reference to their own history. They do well with that, and they kind of did that this week by bringing back, I believe the actress's name is Peyton List, and she plays Lois's little sister, Lucy. So I just thought that was cool that they even used the same actress, because Smallville's, you know, they've been known to try and pull fast ones before, and I'm glad to see them not do that in this episode.
Yeah, use a little bit of continuity here and there. Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, we talked about this, that we're just kind of enduring this 10th and final season of Smallville, but there have been some bright spots along the way, and this episode was probably one of them. I mean, it was kind of Thanksgiving-themed, so it's as good as a Thanksgiving-themed episode can be. You know? But yeah, you know, I'm just looking forward to the actual finale and to see how the series itself comes to an end.
Yeah.
So, Tyler, let's go ahead and move on to you. What have you been consuming lately?
Well, today I just finished the first volume of the Grant Morrison Animal Man, circa 1989. Pretty good read as far as content. There was one issue that stood out to me. And I believe the second volume is going to get into like the multiple dimensions and stuff like that.
Wait, this is a comic series or a novel series?
A graphic novel.
Okay, right on.
Animal Man. And one of the issues has like the Wile E. Coyote-esque character from like Looney Tunes, and he is taken from his world and put into the DC, you know, Animal Man world. And so like a lot of people are trying to kill him and like sniping him in the desert, and he like gets these bullets through his brain and through his stomach, but he just keeps coming back to life because I guess he's a Looney Tune. And eventually someone kills him at the end of the issue. But you know, its big themes are like environmentalism and animal rights and stuff like that. Like Animal Man's a vegetarian and this, that, and the other thing. So pretty good read. Check it out. Also, you guys keep talking about Terriers. I'm going to talk about The Good Guys on Fox. Also, a pretty underrated show. No one's really talking about it. But again, you know, I've been watching it since it started, and I just watched this episode, not this past Friday's episode, but the a week ago, I guess. Very good, very twist. There was like a twist in the storyline that I didn't see coming, which I thought was pretty cool. And you know, all the characters are running on full steam, and there's, you know, it's not one of those shows where like, well, hopefully, knock on wood, like one of the main characters would die. You know, it's one of those shows where, you know, hopefully they're always going to be around, so that you'll never have to fear for their lives, but at the same time you're entertained as far as each case they solve.
Mm-hmm.
And the acting's pretty good, and a lot of the guest stars, like the criminals or whatever, the characters in the police case are always pretty funny to watch, because it's like a comedy slash cop show, so it's not like a CSI or procedural drama or anything that could bore you to death, but it's entertaining as hell to watch, so check it out.
Correct me if I'm wrong, you've been known to be not a big fan of Colin Hanks' work before the show, am I right?
Really?
I thought that was the case. Is that not the case? Is that not accurate?
No, you must be confusing me with someone else.
Okay, all right. So you like Colin Hanks then in the show?
Yeah, he's funny.
Cool. All right, so Joe Ledger, what have you been watching or consuming lately?
Well, last week I checked out this documentary that debuted on the History Channel called Marijuana, A Chronic History, and it really glossed over the whole debate about the decriminalization of the drug, and it was just a really, really solid two-hour documentary. I don't know if you guys checked those out before, any of those on, like, Nazis or hell.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, there's pretty solid. I mean, they were pretty neutral. They brought in a lot of different people, and it's just a pretty solid documentary, I think.
Cool. And that was on the History Channel, is that right?
Yeah, they usually replay those pretty often, so definitely check it out, especially you guys out in L.A. it mentioned there's well over 700 dispensaries out there now.
Yeah.
And they're getting targeted by gangs, and just it's kind of a crappy situation when it probably should be legal, but whatever.
Yeah, we see them out here all the time, and I believe Prop 19 did not pass, which was the
legalization bill.
Right, yeah. So,
but you can carry an ounce, up to an ounce, legally.
I'm unfamiliar with the laws and their extents and all that.
Dude, you gotta take advantage of that, bro.
Yeah, the whole thing was talking about how it's not legal in any part of the world. It's just been decriminalized in some parts.
Mm-hmm.
Which means you can still get fines and other stuff because of federal law.
Right.
But it's just, I don't know. I came into it thinking it should be somewhat decriminalized, and I came out of it thinking the same thing.
Okay, right on.
You're telling me there's a documentary on hell?
Yeah, it's that one was called The Seven Gates of Hell.
Oh, okay.
These researchers go to various places where they think hell has opened up, like kind of a portal or dimension, and you can actually fall in and go to hell.
Okay.
That sounds like a made-for-sci-fi movie.
History Channel at its best.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. Also, another show I've been keeping up with is the CW Wednesday show called Hellcats, about a couple of girls that are on a cheerleading squad. Who laughed at me?
I did, because I found that funny.
It's better than you would think.
Okay.
It's not like Bring It On. The girls actually, there's only like five characters they focus on. They just happen to be on a cheerleading squad, yeah. But they do other stuff, like go to law school.
I mean, Allison Machalka's pretty hot, so there's points for that.
Yeah, she's, like, really, really Eastern European hot.
What does that mean?
Very nice, very nice.
Yeah, look, well, if you look at her face, it's you gotta see her, man. It's, yeah, she looks like she's from Yugoslavia or somewhere.
Okay. I didn't know if that was, like, a classification of hotness, like...
No, she's got that, you know, exotic look.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, it's just a fun, easygoing show. There's never any threats of, you know, the terrorism or any of these other shows that are taking themselves too seriously. Okay. I mean, at most, you know, there's like a drunken mother or, you know, the athletic director is getting caught for paying players to go there. So.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Interesting.
Don't go there.
And it's actually, I believe, executive produced by Tom Welling from Smallville.
So is it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's a little bit of a
sweet
circular nature to it. But
I smell a crossover.
Well, for me, I just very briefly wanted to talk about The Walking Dead. It's the new show on AMC that aired on Halloween. So it was actually 1 week ago today. It kind of sucks that we're recording these episodes on Sunday because it's been a week since I've seen it, and there's another one that's going to be airing like tonight in a few hours. So we're kind of a little bit stuck in a no man's land. But I really enjoyed the show. Did any of you guys get a chance to check it out by any chance?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Joe, did you see it?
No, I don't like AMC.
Okay. I do like AMC, and oh, this God. Show is just like...
The time starts are always really weird.
That's
like,
true.
Like, shows start at, like, 12:42 and stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
PBS, Joe. That was old school PBS.
Yeah, that was the Superstation days.
No, this one does it too. They started at least that one, it was like 5 minutes after. This one's always like, oh, this show's gonna start at like 1:28.
Yeah, they do that, I've noticed.
And then
yeah.
It goes for like an hour and 14 minutes, and that's like a cycle. It never ends.
Yeah, it's a broadcasting category. I learned about it when I was in school. It's kind of Bush League. But anyway, The Walking Dead is based on a comic book, and it's essentially about like kind of a zombie apocalypse, but it's a little bit more than that. It does concentrate more on the kind of characters and the human characters who are left alive in this zombie-infested world. We talked about this on the Geek Tyrant podcast last week, and Venkman was ready to declare it the greatest zombie thing of all time, like piece of media ever involving zombies. And, you know, I'm not even anywhere near close to being able to make that same claim, but in future weeks, if the show keeps up with as well as the pilot turned out, I think it has the chance to take that title. So, check it out Sunday nights AMC. I don't remember what time, but anyway, they'll you know 10, you'll see yeah 10 o'clock. O'clock I think. So you'll see commercials and stuff for it for a while. It actually did very very well on its pilot episode or whatever. It was like one of the most watched.
It was like the highest AMC.
Yeah, it's the highest rated AMC program ever, and I think it was like the most watched cable program of the year or something like that. So, yeah. Anyway, Walking Dead, good stuff. So
bigger than Terriers.
Way yes, bigger than apparently. Terriers, unfortunately.
I don't think Terriers is on AMC.
No,
it's not. It's on FX at 10 o'clock on Wednesdays.
Catch Terriers on at 9:13.
All right, well, let's go ahead and move on into our review. Let's talk about Doll Man.
On the planet Arcturus, he's the toughest cop around. Doll Man, 13 inches with an attitude.
This is a movie directed by Albert Pyun from 1991. IMDb says it went direct to video, and I believe it. let's go around the circle, and everybody just give some brief thoughts on Doll Man, then we'll get into a little bit more specifics. So, Joe, why don't we start with you? What did you think about Doll Man?
Well, first, did movies go direct to video back then?
I think so. Yeah, like VHS, not to a right? Yeah, it was definitely in the VHS days.
Straight to beta.
I think that market was was not nearly as big as it is, or as it, you know, became with the rise of DVD. Because I know, you know, a lot of times really big actors now will go do direct-to-DVD movies just because they make a lot of money off of rentals and stuff like that. Back then, the market was totally different. But they did have the occasional made-for-VHS movie, and this apparently was one of them.
Okay, yeah. Well, I thought this was pretty miserable all around. I mean, it started out pretty bad, and it never got better. I mean, from the start of the movie, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but everything was in like a crap brown filter.
Yeah, we did.
It looked terrible. Yeah. And Rick Bardo kind of presented himself as a jackass. You know, he used the insult fat boy twice to the same kid within like a minute.
He opened and ended his statement with fat boy.
He had nothing else. He was all out of ammo at that point. And then it just got weirder with like the disembodied head on the news and wow.
Yeah, it was okay. Well, let's go, Tyler. What did you think?
I fell asleep during major plot points in this movie, so I kept having to go back and rewatch them, and I wish I hadn't, because this, you know, just to reiterate Joe's views, it never got good. It wasn't, after watching Trancers, I thought they could maybe pull it out again with Thomerson's whatever acting ability, but the whole premise of the story is just bad. I was not involved at all. Hence my falling asleep.
Right. The premise was kind of the reason that I was quasi-excited about it, because, I mean, the tagline is 13 inches with attitude. For those of you who haven't actually seen the movie, Dollman follows Tim Thomerson, who's playing a character named Brick Bardo, and essentially he's an alien bounty hunter who travels to Earth, and then when he arrives, he's only 13 inches tall.
I'm dismissively wanking right now.
Yeah, I can't see that, but I somehow I know. just like something that sounds as ridiculous on the face of it as that, I was like, okay, maybe this will be entertaining. And I think the reason that I thought it was going to be entertaining was that I was hoping for a lot of shots that showed a 13-inch guy running around like cohesively with normal-sized people, and that's not what the movie does. It goes out of its way to hide the fact that the character is supposed to be that tall, and only, I would say, maybe 3 or 4 times does it even try to like do some composite shots or something to like use green screen to show that they're standing next to each other or whatever. The rest of the movie entirely is just like camera tricks and stuff like that, which, you know, it's a movie that obviously was shot on a very small budget, but I just kind of expected a little bit more out of it, and I probably shouldn't have since it's called Doll Man. But Pat, what did you think?
I think Tyler mentioned falling asleep during plot points, and I just kind of say, what plot points? Because it really, the movie kind of has no plot, I felt like. It's very, very thin if there is one. Like, there's really no motivation for him at any point in time. Joe with the orange filter in the beginning, that was so annoying. I was like, can we please take off this damn camera filter, because it's starting to piss me off. But yeah, this is just kind of a dumb movie.
I mean, to be fair, the camera filter was on the other planet.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's just like corny.
Yeah.
That city looked really sweet, and to just take the movie out of that environment and slam it into the ghetto is kind of lame.
Yeah, that was like the punchline of the movie, that they were in like the South Bronx or something. Like,
yeah.
They just tried to implant Dollman in like the most ridiculous fish out of water scenario that they could come up with, and they put him in like an inner city gang.
And they
13-inch white guy in Southern Bronx.
Did you guys enjoy the Earth montage as much as I did? It was just all drugs, prostitutes, and candles.
Yeah, they went on with that montage for a good like 40 seconds longer than they should have.
Yeah, at least. So that was ridiculous. And then they did it again.
Yeah, they did.
A little bit after that. It was just like, man, we get it. You have B-roll stock footage of New York. Like,
the movie's only hour and 20 minutes long. I mean, they had to fill it with something.
That's true. That's true. It was. What did you say? How long did you say it was? Like
7 hours and 20.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So it was very short, and I guess they did have to fill it with something. Something that I was kind of surprised to see was Jackie Earle Haley starring as the head
bad guy.
Yeah, gang member named Braxton.
Best performance in the movie.
What's that?
His performance stood out from that shitty experience. I remember. Oh wow, somebody actually, you know, took the time to learn their lines and develop a character for this film.
Yeah, he put a little bit of effort into it. I'd say he was probably like the most enjoyable person to watch, just because, and it's probably because his character was. Tim Thomerson's Brick Bardo was just like totally apathetic throughout the entire thing, and like straight-faced, and wasn't really, like, in the very beginning, he cracks these jokes of when he's, like, there's a hostage scenario going on in the laundromat, and he, like, walks in and essentially just does his laundry while the guy is barking at him, and he, like, says something like, I don't remember, but it's some sort of pithy remark about, like, I put 2 scoops of, you know, of powder in the machine or something, you know, like, something stupid about his, like, laundry method and routine and stuff. Like, it just, I don't know. I was expecting him to speak almost solely in one-liners after that introduction to the character. And then he just, like, he's so small and diminutive. Like, he can't, exercise any power over anyone in the movie. He has this handgun that's claimed to be, like, somehow the kid, like, the kid or Gerald, his best friend, somehow knows that the gun is, like, very powerful or something, right? Or was that another kid early on?
I don't know.
One of the kids...
the kid in the laundromat.
Okay, yeah. Some kid...
That was Fat Boy.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, never mind. So that was like, on his home planet or whatever. So I guess it makes a little bit more sense that they would know that gun is the most powerful one. But in any case...
My favorite shot was when all the fat ladies fell to the ground and they turned to Thomerson, and, like, the camera goes up and down to indicate that the earth shook because the ladies fell down. I was like, wow.
Yeah, this movie...
This is like CDI game material right here.
Yeah, it's like, obsessed with fat people for some reason in, like, the opening scene. I don't know. He really does. I mean, Joe mentioned it a couple times, like, just referring to the same kid as Fat Boy over and over and over again. And then, like, the gang guy or the hostage person, I believe it's implied that he dies because the woman falls on top of him. So it's like, I don't know what this movie is trying to do, but
perhaps gravity works a little different on the Alturas or wherever he's from.
That's a generous reading.
Yeah, the plump women just, I don't know, maybe they're all plump. Maybe they're not fat.
Well, you know, we were talking a little bit about the production design and stuff and, like, the filters and everything. Pat, you mentioned the Debbie's apartment. There was something that you kept pointing out.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't even Debbie's apartment. I think when she was at that meeting with the like, lieutenant.
Yeah, at the neighborhood watch thing or something.
Yeah,
right?
The neighborhood watch. They just have, like, smoke going in every place. Like, and not, like, because of a fire or anything. I'm not sure what
the
effect
gun smoke
was called, but, yeah, just kind of, like, effect smoke being pumped in, and it's just kind of, like, distracting. You can't even see the actors at some point because they're too far, like, engulfed in this, like, haze of smoke. I don't know. I don't understand what it was for either, besides, like, an effect gone wrong. I mean.
Yeah. This whole movie, I guess, could probably be categorized as an effect gone wrong. But Tyler, do you have anything else you wanted to bring up?
Not really. I mean, I wouldn't tell anybody. I wouldn't invite women over to watch this movie, nor would I suggest it to any movie lover. The one funny part I did notice was that at the very end, when they're, like, rolling off the credits, you know, they play, like, the scenes that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like Tim Thomerson. They show all the things that Bardo was doing, and then they're like, the girl, and it was like all the stuff Debbie was in.
Yeah.
And then Haley.
Yeah.
And then, like, all of his scenes. But then they went to, like, all the obscure characters that had, like, less than 30 seconds of screen. It was like the lady in the laundromat, and then the commissioner of the police who only made that one appearance in the classroom. And like all these people were getting the top billing, and then at the very end, the floating head gets his time to shine. I was just like, wow, I'd be so pissed if I was the actor that did the floating head, because the fat kid in the laundromat got billed before he did. So I thought that was after I'd woken up from my nap and saw that was on the screen, I kind of chuckled to myself.
We turned it off after like Tim Thomerson's introduction. We were just looking to get rid of this movie. So, Joe, do you have anything you wanted to bring up about it?
Yeah, I mean, you guys were talking about the special effects, and I kind of noticed that about halfway through, they kind of used up all of their special effects. It was almost like they ran out of money.
Yeah.
like all the explosions and the sci-fi scenes, the cutscenes were just, they were gone.
Yeah.
The end looked terrible.
One of the things that that we noticed, and you guys probably did as well, was I think Tim Thomerson, like, when he falls off the car, they show, before he jumps off, when he's kind of grabbed onto it, it pans down, and there's, like, a Coke bottle sitting on the ground. And, you know, everyone knows a Coke bottle is, like, roughly, like, you know, 9 inches long or whatever. And Tim Thomerson's sitting there at, like, 13. Or maybe it's, you know, the same size as him. But when he goes down there, it's like, was it bigger?
It was like up to his knee.
Yeah, it was like a 5-inch Coke bottle or something.
Like 3 or something. Yeah. It was just like, that's why the movie didn't deal well with proportions, is because they had no concept of what they are. Like, they just couldn't handle any sort of showing people. Like they showed when Tim Thomerson, in a fantastic scene, by the way, who leaps out of like a second story glass window and latches onto a moving vehicle, which somehow doesn't break his arms or anything like that. They show the car driving away, and like this like actual, it's probably like a Ken from Barbie doll just attached to the side, and they should actually show like a wide shot of it. As opposed to just their kind of close-ups with their clearly fake car window that they've been, you know, inserting with Tim Thomerson over and over again. So even that is like, that doll was not 13 inches tall. Like, they have no concept of proximity or anything like that in this movie. But
and towards the end, Brick Bardo just became like a hassle. Like, all those kids kept coming over to see him. The guy, the headless, or the head, died, and that's when he should have just left.
Yeah, like, that was really kind of a shocking moment. Like, Jackie Riley just crushes this head and doesn't really, like, he doesn't get a correct explanation of how the nuclear bomb thing works. The guy just says, yeah, here it is right behind me. As soon as you help me out, I'll tell you how it works. And he just, like, smashes his head with his thumb. And he's like, it's mine now. Like, what are they thinking?
It had no effect anyway.
Yeah, this gangbanger was going to take over the world with this machine.
Yeah, and then
that wasn't even his goal. His goal was to take over, like, the East Bronx.
Yeah, he's like, we could blow up the East Side. And then, yeah, Joe, that's exactly right. Like, they really did seem like they ran out of money, because with that, like, you know, he sets off the bomb at the very end, and, like, everybody goes slow-mo running out of the building like it's going to explode. But then they just put these, like, white pulse bursts coming out of the building, and it's like they don't even have enough money to recreate a small model that's a foot tall and blow that up with a firecracker just to make it look like they put some effort into it. They just, like, put this super stupid computer effect of white circles beaming out and radiating from this building, and then nothing happens. It's just like, oh, wow, that was...
Step out of the rubble.
I think we were using firecrackers in, like, ninth grade or something.
Yeah, I mean...
Special effects.
Yeah, any high school kid worth their weight would, you know, working on a video project will at least use a firecracker here and there, but these guys didn't get the memo, I guess. A couple other things I wanted to talk about, the ADR was terrible, the dialogue replacement, where, like, they didn't actually record the audio on site. They recorded it later on in voiceovers and tried to piece it into the movie. It was really awful at multiple points where it wasn't even close to what their mouths were doing. This was a scene where her name's Debbie, the main female lead, works in a toxic waste plant doing God knows what, just looking at toxic waste, I guess, and then, like, bickering and gossiping with her friend. And then, like, the manager guy comes over and he, like, waddles over and is, like, telling them to get back to work. And, like, you can see their heads bobbing as they're talking and nothing's happening on screen. And then, like, all of a sudden, like, 3 seconds later, dialogue will enter the picture. Like, just really, really terribly done. And,
what's so funny, ladies?
Yeah. And then, like, Pat was, commenting on it. Like, that part in the story revolves around, like, that guy asking out the friend and her, like, making some sort of snide remark about how, like, she doesn't date the toxic waste from work. And Pat's like, well, she's never going to get promoted. But, yeah, the one other thing was, like, what did Jackie Earle Haley want with Debbie? Did you guys know? Because he captures her and has her sit in this stone palace that apparently he and his gang members, like, own in this building, this kind of abandoned building on the side of town, where there's just, like, inexplicably, like, 30 or 40 guys carrying submachine guns walking around guarding it in the middle of the day with no jobs or anything. And they... like, Jackie Earle Haley gets shot by Tim Thomerson's little gun, and then the head guy tries to heal him or whatever, but then after he smashes his head, the wound starts to come back or something. You know, some sort of ridiculous plot contrivance. Anyway, he's sitting there with Debbie, and they just sit in chairs next to each other while they wait for Dollman to show up. And then after that, like, after Dollman does show up and they end up kind of going, the girl tries to break away, Jackie Earle Haley tries to shoot her with his gun. Like, he keeps, like, wandering through these broken rubble hills trying to shoot her. Like, if he was trying to shoot her, why didn't he just do it when he had her sitting there for half an hour while he was waiting for Dollman to show up? Do you guys know what his motivation was at all in this movie?
No, he was just a gangbanger jerk. It was very Bowser-ish of him.
It was kind of Bowser-esque, yeah.
I can speculate.
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, this is what I got.
This is what I got from the Jackie Earle Haley and Debbie relationship. I believe her husband or her baby's daddy, whatever, was in the gang, and then somehow he was responsible for the death of her husband or boyfriend or whatever, and so he's looking after her. You know, just because her husband or her boyfriend's dead, and so that's why he's never, like, you know, when he tells his thugs that they weren't supposed to hurt her, or that even though she, like, kicks all the dope dealers out of her street, like, he doesn't go after her.
Gotcha.
And just trying to generally protect her. I think he may have mentioned someone's name, I thought, for a second. Like, maybe that was the boyfriend's name. But, of course, they didn't get into that storyline, so I just had to make up something to appease my curious mind.
Yeah, I was actually wondering if Jackie Earle Haley was the father of her kid, but I don't really think they delved into that enough for us to get a solid answer one way or the other.
Oh, that'd be some layers, Ben.
Yeah, I think that's probably reading a bit too much into this movie. But I did want to mention the final line in the film where after, I guess, all of the gang members have been obliterated, Dollman is standing there next to Debbie and says, "Tell me size doesn't count," and then it goes to black. So, I don't know. It was really awful. So let's go ahead and move on into our discussion of Trancers, then.
I'm Jack Death. I'm a trooper in the 23rd century.
Jack Death, Angel City PD. May I see your stats?
What did I do?
Under Section 7 of the Penal Code, the Council authorized me to administer you a transfer suspect examination.
You can't give me a TSE without a warrant.
I got your warrant right here, pal.
Okay. I don't want any trouble.
Hold on to
my job is hunting transfers.
I got nothing to hide.
Finding them.
Negative.
And singeing them.
Look out!
Of course, sometimes they find me first. Then it's a little more complicated.
Jack Death is back. And he's never even been here before. Trancers.
This one was directed by a guy named Charles Band in 1985. And it's hard to believe that 1985 produced two time travel movies, Trancers and Back to the Future, being of such massively different levels of quality. So,
Tyler, time travel in this movie is so bad.
Well, Tyler, we'll start with you. What did you think about Trancers?
If you get past the part of the time travel explanation and again Thomerson's performance, this is a pretty entertaining movie. I know we may get into this, but it was written by Bilson and DeMeo, the same characters and cretins behind the Flash TV series. And I saw some similarities as far as character development and locations and stuff like that. So, but if you get past that, I don't know. It was all right. I liked it. I'm not gonna sell it on this podcast. I'm not gonna buy the DVD, but you know, I'll watch it once in my life.
I hear you. Since you mentioned Paul Bilson, Danny Bilson and Paul DeMeo, we'll go ahead and just talk about that real
first
quick.
Names.
You and I bought the, the live action 1990 Flash TV series. I actually wrote a post about this on the Solar Sentinel, so kind of search back through the archives if you guys want to talk about or read that. I believe it's called What Not to Do, The Flash. But anyway, Bilson and DeMeo, they've moved on into like comics writing and stuff, and they've been involved in the industry for a long time. This is kind of really representative of their work, you know. Like the dialogue is fairly terrible. The plot is just totally
acneed.
Yeah, exactly. Like just ripped from a bunch of different things. Like it's basically
Blade Runner, The Terminator,
yeah, and Demolition Man. Like all rolled into one. Like that's what this movie is. Clear that they saw those things. Oh, I mean, with the exception of Demolition Man, which came out later.
Right.
But you know, it's like those kinds of things where they saw Blade Runner, they saw Terminator, and they're like, okay, let's do that. And it's like a studio executive's kind of mind frame. Like these guys would fit really well in the studio system because they're just like, what's that? A live action Yogi Bear movie is being made or whatever? Like, okay, do a Smurfs movie. Like, you know, these guys would be the people that they turn to kind of
produce,
you know, crap and stuff like that. Yeah, Battleship, exactly. So
Yahtzee, the movie.
Yeah, anyway, I just wanted to kind of...
My God, throw the dice, man!
It might happen. We might be prophetic in that regard, you know? Like, in 3 years, you could come back to this podcast and be like, wow, they were not far off.
Pop the bubble! Oh, sorry!
Oh, man. All right, well, Pat, what did you think about Trancers?
It was slightly more enjoyable than Doll Man. Well, more than slightly, not considerably, but
maybe 13 inches more better.
Yeah, at least 26. You know, it had like a recognizable plot. I guess Helen Hunt is fun in it. She's fun enough. I don't know. I understood more of what was going on and like the motivations behind things more so than Doll Man, which was just kind of scenes pieced together. It did like I don't know who just mentioned it, but it did have like a Blade Runner vibe a little bit when they were in like the futuristic time period. That being said, yeah, Tyler, this movie has a lot of time travel issues, like McNulty or whatever. At one point, or at the end, he what's his name? Tim Thomerson.
He plays a character named Jack Death in this, by the way, which is
your name is Jack Death?
And like, that's the whole reason that I wanted to see this, but anyway.
Like, that's some sort of, like, play on words, like, oh, I get it. It's, you know, I don't understand.
Yeah, it's just that. That's it. But multiple characters make reference to the fact, like, really, dude, your name is Jack Death? Like, the writers wrote his name as Jack Death and then had other characters question their own creation. Like,
you're going to go back to your ancestors' time, Philip Death. Wait, seriously?
McNulty, getting back to what I was saying, he travels... Okay, I'll save the end for right now, but he travels back in time, and he's like, this is the only – and he's in like some little kid. The way they travel back in time – let me start from the beginning. The way they travel back in time is they have to be passed somehow through their like ancestors.
Mm.
And so he goes – McNulty travels back in time, and his quote like oldest ancestor is like a 12-year-old girl. And he's like, this is the oldest ancestor I could find. And my
question – that was my favorite part, the McNulty as the little girl. I thought that was comical.
It is kind of funny, and it's fun to watch. But my question was, like, why didn't he just transfer himself into that girl's parents? Because those would be his ancestors, too. Unless she was, like, adopted or something, or, like, a runaway in L.A. I don't know. But the same thing happened. And so he comes and he brings Tim Thomerson back to the future because he failed to protect one of the ancestors of the High Council or whatever crap they make up.
Yeah.
And then they almost immediately send him back, and then at the end he's somehow, quote, stuck in the past, like forgetting that he was brought back to the future, like earlier in the movie.
Yeah, the thing is, like, they
a few hours ago.
Yeah, they have these like capsules, right, that are implanted in the handle of this gun, and what's her name? Ruth. Ruth, who's the engineer. Basically, she plays the Q character in the future. She's actually played by the same actress that plays Aunt Rachel in Family Matters. But is like basically like the Q from James Bond, and gives him like this watch that lets him go back and or like slow down time or whatever. So she gives him this .38 special gun, and in the handle of it are two capsules that you're supposed to inject to send you down the line, as they say, to get back to the future, right? So what Pat is referencing is like there's this part where McNulty from the future pulls Jack Death back to the future without using those capsules. And then at the very end, one of the capsules is apparently broken, and he makes this huge deal about, oh no, I'm stuck, like we can only use one. Why don't they just use the same technology to pull him back like they did, like McNulty did earlier? That's the
issue. He shoots him with one of the capsules.
Well, he shoots the he like gets the bad guy. He gets Whistler with the capsule, and that sends him back. But
McNulty as the little girl, like right after McNulty, the little girl comes into the hotel or whatever the house, and he like locks Death locks her out. Then he leaves to go outside, and the little girl like shoots a capsule at him, and he goes down, and he comes back, and he's like,
That's right. Because he kicks her out, and then like her head slowly rises over the bed as he is getting ready to get it on with Helen Hunt, and then she just like sticks the gun over and shoots him. I forgot about that. But why didn't McNulty send himself back with more capsules then? That's the question. But
any object can be sent back in time, but people can't be sent back in time, which I don't get, first of all. You can send like this treasure chest like Legend of Zelda style, you're like dun, 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 and you get all this stuff, but you can't send people back in like a larger treasure chest, perhaps.
Yeah, and then the treasure chest, if as you call it, appears like while they're on the run, happening like you know, like mid stride, like right where
they
are.
Wait, another watch.
There's no definitive point where it should appear that he has to go to. It just happens to be wherever he is. And then like. You know, since we're talking about the time travel, and go ahead and bring up like the very end, you know, we talked about him getting stuck, and because he's embodying the body of his ancestor, which is Phil Death, at the very end of the movie, he stays in Phil's body. So talking about time travel, that would just completely offset and horrifically alter the events of the future if Phil is forced to never live again, and it's his body is just being used as a shell that Jack Death is inhabiting. So
unless Jack Death's going back in time was part of the future in the first place,
a right? La the first Terminator,
right?
Time loop.
Yeah.
Even the music in this movie was reminiscent of Terminator.
Yeah.
Like, if you listen real close, you can kind of hear like very similar tones.
Well, Joe, what did you think about Trancers?
You know, I thought it was just a fun movie. I think it clocked in around 76 minutes, which was perfect for this kind of crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there were one-liners you know, Jack Death kept dropping him, like, you know, he wipes his hands on the dresser, and he's like, dry hairs for squids. And he just walks out with his trench coat. And, you know, there were some other ones. The whole, I mean, you guys touched on it already. I kind of like the whole James Bond feel of it, where he would just, that first scene with the watch, where he kind of, you know, did barrel rolls through the cops, I thought that was pretty cool.
Although he should have shot Whistler right then and there. He had plenty of time to do it.
Yeah,
he clearly had more than 10 seconds.
Yeah, way more. That's, and that was the thing that we were talking about at the very end, when, like, the Helen Hunt's character gets thrown off of a building while he's up there with Whistler, and he, like, goes into slow-mo, and instead of, like, taking care of Whistler while he's in slow-mo, again, you know, from that missed opportunity that you guys just brought up, like, he should have hurled Whistler off the roof and then gone down and caught Helen Hunt or whatever, but he just, like, goes down and gets her, and then relies on, like, the aging baseball player Hap Ashby, who's turned into a drunk, to hurl bottles at him and somehow knock him off the roof. Like, that was just so... That is pure Bilson and DeMeo right there.
I also loved how Helen Hunt's character just kept getting in the way. Like, she was just a hassle the whole movie. It was almost like they were trying to convey that women just were negligent in our time. I mean, she like, in the very first scene, she kept bickering at him. She's like, are you going to take me to work? You know, hurry up, Phil.
Wait, what else was there?
Helen Hunt.
There was a couple things, like, small things that I really enjoyed. It's the very beginning of the movie, he's, like, it's, like, this Planet of the Apes beach scene, and he, like, pulls up he's, like, going diving, and he finds the Sunset Boulevard sign and stuff like that. And then, like, they keep making reference to Cahuenga Boulevard, which is, like, it's such an inside LA thing to talk about, because, like, Sunset Boulevard is kind of an iconic thing. Like, you guys are from Florida, and you've heard of Sunset Boulevard before, you know what I mean? Like, there's a movie called Sunset Boulevard, for God's sake. Like, it's a very famous landmark.
Can you see the sunset from there?
The sun kind of sets on Sunset Boulevard when you're driving, and it gets really annoying at certain points of the day. But anyway,
maybe that's where it's got its name from.
I'm sure it did. But Cahuenga is just like a random street in Hollywood, and like they keep making reference to it over and over again. I'm like, this is terrible. Like, nobody's gonna know what you're talking about. So there's that, and then like Helen Hunt, who is essentially a total slut in this movie, because she's wearing a wedding ring, I noticed at one point, and that's probably just like a gaffe, some sort of movie mistake where she forgot to take it off or something. But a couple times I noticed that she's wearing a wedding ring, and then in that scene that Joe was just talking about where Jack Death takes over Phil's body for the first time, like, she had never seen him before that night and is just like totally willing to sleep with them on the first night and, like, relying on him to take her to work the next day. Like, she really did just kind of get in the way. It was pretty bad.
I thought she might have been married to Murray.
To Murray? To the Santa Claus guy?
Just speculation.
Did you guys catch what the significance of the blue hair was? I totally forgot about that.
I think she had a streak of blue hair, and Jack Death kept barking at her to cut it off because it made her too easily identifiable for Whistler and his cronies.
Okay, I thought that was like the mark of something. That's why he said that.
No, but speaking of the mark of something, right? The whole movie is called Trancers, and Trancers are some sort of creatures that are caught between life and death. I didn't really catch the early explanation of it. Do you guys know why the Trancers would, exist in 1985, or B, only reveal themselves to be Trancers in Jack Death's presence?
You want me to take this one?
Yeah, because I have no idea.
I believe trancing was what Whistler was doing. This is why Whistler was so dangerous, because he can trance people. I guess he can control them with his own mind. Mm-hmm. And so when he knows where Jack Death is, or where the council ancestors are, he can trance into them And that's why they kept saying, oh, squids are the weak-minded. Those are the ones that are easily tranced. Like, those are the ones that he can get a hold of. But Helen Hunt's character was too strong, so she could not be tranced.
So so you're saying that Whistler took over the body of Murray as Santa Claus in that scene?
Correct.
And then when Jack Death, quote-unquote, singed the trancer and the body disappears, then where did Whistler go? Back into the body of the ancestor of the police guy?
I don't think his mind goes, but he controls their minds. I don't think he goes anywhere.
Yeah, I think he also, it had political motives. Like, he also wanted them to keep voting for him to move him up the political ladder so he could...
Yeah, because he had a group of, like, trancers waiting outside the council to overthrow it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, the whole thing just got really kind of convoluted to me. I wasn't able to follow, like, the motivations of Whistler and, like, how he was physically able to control these people, but I guess you guys got that on lockdown. But,
how many sequels did they make? Four?
There's
like
a bunch.
Four?
There's a bunch, yeah.
Better explain Trancers better then. I just watched Trancers 9, guys. I still don't know what the hell a Trancer is.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Do you guys have anything else to talk about with this movie? I mean, you know, like Tyler said, I'm not going to sit here and advocate that people see this. I will say it was better than Doll Man. I think we all agree on that. And it was kind of okay to watch. Like, it was bearable. I've seen way, way worse, and we've even seen worse talking about it on this podcast. So,
yeah,
this is not like...
Yeah, my definition of terrible was redefined with The Mist. So, this movie is not necessarily terrible, and neither of them are. But, you know, if you're going to see one, see Trancers, and just forget about Doll Man.
Yeah. There was one scene that you and I were cracking up about, Pat, and I'll let you explain it. When Jack Death is sitting in the car, he's in the driver's seat.
Which part?
The steering wheel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Like, somebody needs to teach this guy how to drive, like, as an actor, not in real life. Because he's just sitting there driving. The car's just going straight down Cahuenga Boulevard or whatever. And he's just, like, turning it right and left, like, literally just, like, swerving over, or, like, back and forth across the road. But the car just, like, keeps going straight. And I just couldn't believe how sort of ignorant he was to the whole, like, acting process. Like, you pretend like you're driving, not that you're steering the car constantly. I don't know.
Or just not only him, but, like, everyone who saw that on set and nobody who said anything about it. Like, Tim Thomerson, this was his first movie. He was a comedian. This is not Tom Cruise, where people should be scared of him on set or something. You know, he has no clout. He has zero power in this world. So, like, just tell him to stop swerving because it looks stupid.
You don't mess with Thomerson.
Apparently not. I've got a couple other things written down here. Like, you could see the boom mic right after Hap Ashby's escape. Yeah. That was really terrible.
That was a good, like, 3 seconds, too.
Yeah, it was a massive mistake.
Maybe that's the trancer.
It was the 80s, Ben. You can forgive those kind of mistakes.
No.
I didn't know how to make movies yet.
Boom mics are pretty clumsy, man. That stuff happens.
But they made, I mean, freaking... The Wizard of Oz, you didn't see any boom mics in that, you know? Like, that's no...
I'm sure if you looked hard enough, you could.
I don't think boom mics were invented until the late 70s.
Okay, I don't know if that's true or not, but you might have a good point. But still, like, whatever. Just because it's the 80s doesn't mean you can write off technical aspects of filmmaking and excuse people for ignorance. But,
That's a transfer, folks. Don't mind that.
I don't know. What did you guys think about, like, the final shot of McNulty as the girl showing up again and then them going to freeze frame on it?
I know I added Trancers 2 to my instant queue.
I did too, and it's not something that we're going to talk about, really, unless maybe we happen to both watch it in the same time. And then,
I'm going to mention it in my media consumption.
Yeah, briefly talk, exactly. But I don't know. This is not one that that probably anybody should watch, but I will say that I enjoyed Trancers enough to maybe give the second one a shot. So
there's also a Doll Man versus Demonic Toys.
I saw that. Wow, yeah. I was wondering if
Tim Thomerson
opened up some sort of can of worms that we were not ready for with like multiple Trancer sequels and now like a Doll Man crossover with some other franchise. That, let alone, you know, a possible Doll Man 2-9 or whatever.
I've shut that can of worms.
Slated to be made in 2012.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they remade Doll Man one of these days, but
I will strangle somebody if I see that. What'd you say, Joe?
No, there's no way this would ever be a remake. The story I don't know, you can't compare it to anything. It's just, it's not viable at all.
There is no story. It's just A to B. Everything is A to B in this.
Yeah. What do you guys, I mean, it would be kind of cool, though, to see Jackie Earle Haley reprise his role.
No, it would not.
Raxton.
This time we're in Atlanta.
Oh, man. All right.
Shit bomb.
Well, let's go ahead and move on from this garbage. And
any final thoughts, Joe, on Trancers?
Yeah, I have the last thing I actually wrote down was Helen Hunt equal sign hot question mark. I thought it was like, you know, this is like 1985. Is it okay to say she's hot because that was in the past? Or like, I don't know. I was kind of thrown aback by that.
Maybe in the past tense.
Yeah, was. Uh-huh. I don't know.
Because I'm not too familiar with Helen Hunt. I mean, I've heard her name, but I was like, oh, she's probably like early 20s. She looks pretty good here.
She was good looking in Mad About You and Twister, so.
She's got that leotard on with the blue streak, you know, very, very 80s.
Leg warmers, and then the Santa costume.
Oh, yeah, that was, yeah, I mean, she was probably the best part of this movie, because Tim Thomerson, I wouldn't call him a good actor.
No, not at all. Yeah,
everyone.
Go ahead.
I said, never mind. I was going to say everyone wears swimsuits under their clothes in 1985, but we were talking about Tim Thomerson's.
Well, Tim Thomerson, like he was a lot more fun to watch in Trancers than he was in Doll Man. So
yeah.
It just seemed like he was kind of having a little bit more fun even as an actor, like regardless of script and all that stuff. But
because he wasn't a curmudgeon.
Yeah.
Like that fat boy.
All right, well, let's go ahead and move on into our kind of listener mail section. You guys can feel free to email us at notjustnewmovies@gmail.com. We actually don't have any emails to read this week, but we do have a brand new voicemail line. So you can call and leave us a voicemail at 904-469-6566. And if you do, you might sound something like this.
Hey, love the podcast, Stony Danza. Just want to talk about my new show, Peach. It's where I teach inner city kids about doing well in school. Because I'm Tony Danza. Yeah, you know, from Taxi. And also from Who's the Boss? I'll tell you who the boss is. I'm the boss. Well, I guess on your podcast, you're the boss. But I'm still the boss. So teach. Teach it well.
Wow.
Yeah, so apparently that was from Tony Danza promoting his new show, Teach. I think that's on, I don't know, AMC? A&E, yeah, okay. Thanks, Tony, for the call.
Not watching it.
We also got one more voicemail. This one may be a little bit more legitimate. Let's take a listen.
Hey, guys, it's me, Tim Thomerson. Just wanted to warn you before you review Trancers and Doll Man. Don't take these movies as a clear indication of my abilities as an actor. When I won the Nantucket Talent Show with my Clint Eastwood impression, I thought the sky was the limit of my career in Hollywood. Oh, sadly, I was mistaken. My career has been on a slow and dangerous fall ever since I took the roles of Jack Death and Burke Bardo. But again, love the show, and keep me in mind next time you guys need a cleaning service to spruce up the place. I really need the work.
Holy crap, Ben.
Yeah, Tim Thomerson himself apparently calling. I don't know how we're getting as much publicity with this show as we are, because we've had, you know, Sean Connery, Tim Thomerson, all these kinds of people. I'm surprised.
The people calling in are relevant to the movies that we talk about.
Yeah, it's really kind of pretty amazing.
Except for Tony Danza.
Yeah.
Well, he's just a likable guy all around.
What'd you say, Joe?
Does he have a speech impediment, that Tony Danza?
I'm not entirely sure. I'll have to ask him. Try to get to his public, like his public.
I'm the boss. You're the boss.
Well, if you guys want to leave us, you know, a legitimate voicemail, do that at 904-469-6566. It's totally free and absolutely worth it. So, let's go ahead and crank up the old Apple II and talk about what we're going to be watching next week.
Yeah, you kind of threw me off, Ben. Transfers was pretty much a holiday classic, in my opinion. But, you know, we'll save holiday mode for later, maybe. But, yeah, let's crank this up. I'm gonna pull the lever here on the side of the monitor, and we'll see what pops up.
All right.
All right, well, I've upgraded to a black and white printer, and it's coming up. All right, 1950s Harvey, starring Jimmy Stewart, and just a wackadaisical storyline. I'll tell you that much.
Nice. I like the use of wackadaisical. All right. So yeah, I mean, this is one of those classics. I've actually never seen this before. So yeah, feel free if you guys want to watch Harvey. I believe it's available on Netflix Watch Instant right now. So feel free to watch along and let us know what you think about it at notjustnewmovies@gmail.com. So let's go ahead and finish up the character name game. The character's name this week was Liz Gilbert. So you guys, if you just want to kind of go around the circle, anybody have any guesses for Liz Gilbert?
Andre
is incorrect.
Pineapple Express.
Pineapple Express is on the right track, but incorrect.
Marcy X.
Marcy X is incorrect. I don't know what that is.
James Franco is in 127 Hours, and James Franco was also in... freaking I'm gonna say Jurassic Park 2, The Lost World.
No, what? But I mean, you got the actor right, so there's
is
the connection.
Is he in that movie?
No, he's not. Oh. In The Lost World.
Spider-Man.
No, that's incorrect.
You killed my father, Peter. Spoiler alert.
James Franco movies.
Any other James Franco?
Sucker Punch.
Sucker Punch is incorrect. Is James Franco in Sucker Punch?
No, I just wanted to say Sucker Punch.
This movie hasn't come out yet. How can we possibly know the
character? Is it a character from General Hospital?
No, that's incorrect. It's a movie.
Knocked Up.
Oh, okay.
Nope. Getting close,
though. Seth Rogen.
No. See, you're doing it wrong again. It's actually the movie that we're looking for, not another...
Wait, no, I got it, Ben.
Okay.
Is it Pearl Harbor?
No.
Pelham 123.
No.
Jeez. Hatari.
Annapolis is not right. No.
Tora, Tora, Tora.
He plays kind of a minor character in this, and actually, I don't think it's one that you guys have seen because I've never seen.
Oh, I know. Sex Drive.
Sex Drive is incorrect. I did see Sex Drive. I know that you saw it because we watched it together, so that's a terrible guess based on the hints that I just gave you.
Dull Man.
All right. This movie came out in 2010.
Oh, wait. Is it still in theaters?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Terriers.
The movie.
Oh, well.
What month in 2010?
I don't remember. A few months ago, maybe August or something.
August.
It was a bigger movie. No, it's not the Green Hornet. That's not out yet. It comes out next year.
See, this is what happens when it's too soon.
No, it's a movie that stars a very, very famous actress, and he just plays like a bit part in it. It's a movie that I'm almost guaranteeing that none of us have seen.
Oh, Eat, Pray, Love.
Indeed, there it is, Joe Lynn.
Oh, really?
Eat, Pray, Love.
Took a stab in the dark there.
Is that Julia?
Liz Gilbert is Julia Roberts' character in Eat, Pray, Love. So, and as Tyler already pointed out, the James Franco was in 127 Hours, which was actually a really, really good movie. If you guys get the chance, definitely check it out. Yeah, that's pretty much going to do it for this week. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can subscribe to this podcast in iTunes for free. I'd recommend it. Also, if you are listening to this, you could obviously I recommend it. You could leave us a review in iTunes. That'd be pretty great. You can find us on Facebook and fan us or like us there. Just type in the Not Just New Movies podcast in the search bar up top and you'll track us down. Let's go ahead and go around the circle really quickly and tell everybody where they can find more of our work on the internet. Pat, we'll start with you.
You can find more of my stuff at the-life-after.blogspot.com. Check it out.
And also occasionally writing reviews for geektyrant.com.
That is true.
Tyler Brandt, how about you?
The Solar Sentinel. I made a comeback at geektyrant.com this week. Got 3 comments on my post. That's pretty awesome. And destagain.blogspot.com. As usual, our fictional wrestling novella, I guess, maybe. I don't know what you want to call it.
Yeah.
It's getting a life of its own, and I'm gonna let Panther Joe take it from here.
Joe, how about you?
Yeah, I write over at The Playing Field. That's Joe's Rant and Rave. blogspot.com. It's kind of ventured more towards entertainment, media, babes, but it also covers sports.
Yeah. Did you say babes?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, hell yeah.
How would you go about reviewing babes?
Well, it's kind of interesting. He's got this series of a dime piece all-star team where he fields fictional sports teams with women from the entertainment industry.
Okay.
It's very classy.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
It's the definition of class, in my opinion.
And I'm also helping out Tyler at Destageddon, the fictional wrestling novel / comic book / adventure.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to do Michael Chiklis versus Ben P?
Ben P's got a full schedule there, my friend.
Helping out,
Joe. You're a co-founder, brother.
It's actually the site's all about Tyler's artwork. It's really, if you haven't been there, it's really exceptional. It's comic book worthy.
Yeah. No, it's definitely about the storylines that Joe comes up with, I would say. That's what really sells the material.
Anyway, check it out, destageddon.blogspot.com.
Ben Pearson loves that website.
I mean, I go to it fairly regularly. I've read
to him. Oh. To him, it's the Terriers of cyberspace.
Wow, I don't know if you could put that on your business card, but
I hope not, because Terrier is going to get canceled.
F you, Joe. F you.
The last bark.
Well, you guys can track me down on Twitter, twitter.com/BenPears. BenPears. You can find me writing at geektyrant.com, filmmonic.com, and notjustnewmovies.com, the namesake for this podcast. Also, Pat and I are found pretty much every week on the Geek Tyrant Weekly podcast. Music for our show is provided by George Turner and the Bandits. You can find their music at gtbandits.com. They're also on Twitter and Facebook, so check them out there. And we look forward to talking again next week. You guys can check out the movie Harvey from 1950, and feel free to listen in. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys later.
Money that I had.